Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON.
Yeah. I wanna ball like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she went shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I wanna ball out like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she went shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.
We were disappointed. We were. There's no way around it. It was a bad night on both ends of the floor, and we have a group of guys that care, and you know, some nights when you have things go wrong, it's not because they don't care. Just I don't know what happened. We haven't played that way all year, in the preseason, in the, you know, 4 or 5 games. But one thing I love about it, we came back, we took it on the chin, we watched film, and it was very, you know, positive instruction or positive criticism or instruction, and we needed them to get better from it. You know, sometimes when you have a team that doesn't have a lot of experience, a loss is a loss if you don't learn anything from it. And we have some losses, and you know, you gotta learn.
Hey guys, welcome to the Locked On Wizards Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Troy Halliburton. And today I am going to do a post-game review of the Wizards' first home victory of the year, a 115-99 win over the Detroit Pistons. The Wizards, they're coming off of a 20-plus point loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think that one thing that we have to look at is that that game might have been an aberration for what we have come to see over a 6-game span with this Wizards team. That game against the Timberwolves wasn't who the Wizards have proven to be, and that's a team that plays extremely hard. This team has not lacked for effort, sans that Timberwolves game, and I think that they kind of got caught schedule watching when they were looking at the fact that Karl Anthony Towns wasn't going to be playing in that game, and they probably got ahead of themselves and didn't realize that, you know, these are NBA players that they're playing against, and that the Timberwolves game was no guaranteed victory. What the Wizards did do was bounce back from that and come out and have a very good showing against a Detroit Pistons team who was also shorthanded. Derrick Rose missed the game because of a hamstring injury, and Reggie Jackson in classic Reggie Jackson form early in the season was hurt and missed the game. So the Wizards got a lot of Luke Kennard in their matchup against the Pistons. And, you know, I've always liked Luke Kennard, the dangerous lefty guard out of Duke. And he led the Pistons in scoring with 24 points. And it looked like in the first half that he was prepared to keep the Pistons in the game. But I would say that it was a great job from Troy Brown Jr., who came off the bench and seemed to really get into Luke Kennard's airspace and kind of limit him offensively in the second half. And this is also where I'll have to give a little bit of credit to Wizards head coach Scott Brooks, who stuck with his bench unit because, you know, quite frankly, they outplayed the starters tonight. And I think that we got a chance to see what the Wizards look like at full strength with, you know, their full work, not even their full rotation because Jordan McRae is still out, but CJ Miles and Troy Brown Jr. being inserted into this Wizards lineup has been a breath of fresh air because, I mean, honestly, they're two very competent NBA wing players. And, you know, while I think Admiral Schofield is a very nice prospect, he was clearly in above his head by having to play early in the season because of all of the injuries that the Wizards had at the small forward position. And so, you know, Troy Brown and CJ Miles both missed all of training camp. And so we really didn't get a chance to see the Wizards with their, you know, full breadth of wing players until tonight. CJ Miles came in and, you know, he's normally known as a Wizards killer, but tonight he was just a killer Wizard off of the bench. CJ Miles finished with 12 points on 3 of 8 shooting. He only hit 1 of his 5 three-point attempts, but, I mean, he hit 5 of his free throws. And really, CJ Miles, he just brought that veteran leadership and that veteran steadiness to a Wizards lineup that really just needed competent wing minutes. And so you also have to look at Troy Brown Jr., who played excellent at the small forward position. Really, he played a lot of minutes at the small forward, but he was also Bradley Beal's primary backup at the shooting guard position. So there were a lot of lineups where, you know, the Wizards were kind of going big, where they would have Ish and Troy Brown Jr. and CJ Miles and Davis Bertans, along with Mo Wagner, that makes for a very formidable second unit. And so I kind of tweeted about this earlier, the fact that, you know, the Wizards, when you look at it now, like now we see their 10-man rotation, you know, this definitely is not a bad roster. I mean, they're going to be able to compete with a lot of teams if they bring the concerted effort every night. Another player who always brings the effort is Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant finished with 14 points and 7 rebounds. But more importantly, Thomas Bryant was tasked with the great ordeal of having to keep Andre Drummond off of the boards. And while they were not, I wouldn't say unsuccessful, and while they were able to limit Andre Drummond when it comes to his scoring output, he did get 24 rebounds, but he came into tonight on 3 straight 20-20 games, which is absolutely phenomenal. But the biggest thing that I want to talk about is the fact that Thomas Bryant, who was not known as a post defender, was able to limit it, also with Mo Wagner, but the two of them were able to limit Andre Drummond to 6 of 20 shooting from the field, and he only had 15 points. And so when you talk about facing a Pistons team who, you know, doesn't have Blake Griffin, he hasn't played yet this year. They didn't have Derrick Rose, who, you know, has shown some flashes and some sparks of the D Rose of old, and they didn't have Reggie Jackson. I mean, the focal point for the Pistons offense has to be Andre Drummond. And what the Wizards did tonight, they didn't allow Drummond to beat them. So that alone, with the effort that they had and with the superb bench play, they were able to, you know, compete in this game. And the biggest thing that I was impressed by was the fact that, you know, they only allowed the Pistons to score 99 points. You know, I mean, we're talking about a team that gave up 159 to Houston in a loss, and gave up 130 plus points to Minnesota. So, I mean, the Wizards, they've been giving up points like, I mean, nobody has ever seen before. I mean, they were on a historic rate to give up points. But I don't think that anybody thinks that this team is a defensive stalwart. But, I mean, they do have to come out here and get some requisite stops if they want to win some ball games. And so the Wizards, they did exactly that. They came out, they got some stops against Detroit, and they went on a nice second half run. It actually all started in the third quarter, where the Wizards outscored the Pistons 30-17. I think that was really the quarter where Bradley Beal kind of took over as the requisite all-star of the team. And, you know, of course, he finished with the team high 22 points for the Wizards. He shot 8 of 17 from the field and only hit 1 of 4 of his threes. But I think what the biggest thing that Beal did was he scored buckets when they needed buckets. So when the bench mob came in and did what they were supposed to do and actually increased the lead, you know, Bradley Beal came in and solidified that by scoring very timely buckets. And once he realized that his three-point shot really wasn't falling, Beal, he continues to be a maven when it comes to driving to the basket. I think that's the biggest thing that I think that Beal has improved with his game is the fact that his ball handling skills have allowed him to be able to get to pretty much anywhere on the court and create his own shot. Now, where I do think that there is a flaw in Beal's game right now is that he's not the best passer in the world. And so sometimes when, you know, he's a great ball handler when it comes to creating a shot for himself, but I don't know if he's a great ball handler when it comes to creating shots for others at this point. And this is where the team sorely misses, you know, a guy like John Wall, where, you know, that's literally all he did was get out on the court. Not all he did, but that was the best thing that John Wall did. He gets out on the court, he dribbles, and he literally spoon feeds his teammates for shots at the rim or wide open corner threes. And Bill, he's not at that level, but I think this is all a part of his growth and maturation as a player. You know, he had 5 turnovers tonight, and I feel like a lot of his turnovers are of the live ball variety, where he's dribbling and he either gets caught trying to make a pass, and his dribble and passing coordination is not there yet, or flat out he just made bad passes and he threw the ball away. So, you know, while I do think that, you know, this is something that he needs to improve, literally the only way that he can get better at is by going out here and actually doing the act of coming out here, making these passes, making these plays. I was impressed by what Bill was able to do tonight, and I think that he showed a lot as a leader of the team by galvanizing some of the younger players and letting them know that, you know, really the only way they're going to be able to compete in a lot of these games is by playing defense and by coming out and playing hard every night. Now, I feel like I've spent a lot of time on this podcast and we haven't talked about one of the major storylines of tonight's game was the fact that before the game, we had a slight Wizards Woj bomb, where Woj tweeted out that Isaiah Thomas would be making his first start of the season for the Wizards. And so Isaiah Thomas being inserted into the starting lineup, I'm not sure if it brought the requisite jolt of energy offensively for the team, but I do think that it was a move that Scott Brooks should have made, just because Ish Smith, while I do think that he's a very solid quality backup point guard, I just don't know if he's capable of being the starting point guard for a team who, you know, thinks that they want to compete and want to win basketball games right now. I think that it was best for just the flow of the team and with what Scott Brooks is trying to build here that he inserted Isaiah Thomas into the starting lineup, which kind of allows – it gives the team a little bit of jolt of energy. But it's more so the fact that Isaiah Thomas is a proven veteran player. And, you know, he's a former 2-time All-Star. So he's a guy who, you know, he can come in and he knows what to do as a starter. He's used to playing starters' minutes and against other NBA starters. And I think that Ish Smith is a great backup point guard who excels at playing backup point guard minutes. I think that having Ish Smith be the floor general and leading the second unit, you know, that really bodes well for them. Whereas Isaiah Thomas would be looking for his shot, Ish Smith is not out there looking for his shot. He's out there trying to get everybody involved, and he gets the ball, and he's pushing the pace. I really like the fact that, you know, he can come up and he can get C.J. Miles some open looks, or he can get Troy Brown some looks, and he can run that pick-and-pop game with Bertans and Mo Wagner. Now, I think that that move was a good move from Scott Brooks, and I have to give credit where credit is due. Because I do think that, you know, Brooks is one of my biggest critiques of Brooks is the fact that he's really rigid with his lineups and he's not as willing to make changes as he sees fit as the flow of the game or the flow of the season is going along. But he saw the same thing that I feel a lot of Wizards fans felt, was that Isaiah Thomas just looks like the better basketball player right now over Ish Smith. And so it doesn't really matter about the salaries. It doesn't matter that Isaiah Thomas is on the veteran minimum and that Ish Smith signed a 2-year, $12 million deal. That's another story for another day, the fact that, you know, Ish Smith is going to be on the books next year for $6 million. But I think that, you know, the Wizards should be very appreciative of the fact that, you know, they took a gamble on Isaiah Thomas and are giving him the opportunity that he desires right now. And, you know, it was very interesting to see Isaiah Thomas in the locker room after the game really talking about how grateful he is that the Wizards have given him this opportunity. You know, I think that he directly said that, you know, the Wizards, they were one of the only teams. They actually looked them in the eye and told him that they would give him an opportunity. And he sounded very appreciative of that. So, you know, I don't think that Isaiah Thomas is going to reach that level where he was a two-time All-Star and averaging nearly 30 points a game. But what he can do is be that Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, you know, scoring punch for the Wizards team. And, you know, he doesn't have to come off the bench to do that either. He can play alongside Bradley Beal. And, you know, with Bradley Beal playing, and he's playing great defense right now, and Isaac Bonga is you know, slowly learning, and Thomas Bryant looks to be much improved as a rim protector, I think that this Wizards team is really coming together. And, you know, the expectations are low. The bar is really low. But the only thing that Wizards fans can ask for is that the team come out and they give a maximum effort and, you know, just try to compete every night. And so they did that, and they put themselves in a good position to win against the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to sign off now. We'll get ready. We'll reconvene on Wednesday as the Wizards take on the Indiana Pacers. And, you know, that's another big game for them. The Pacers will be their second Eastern Conference game of the year. And, you know, they're still missing Oladipo, and Miles Turner has an ankle injury. So we have to take advantage of these moments right now where you're playing teams who are still trying to figure themselves out. But it'll be a big road test for the Wizards. And we'll get back and rejoin later and talk about that game after it's over. Thank you guys for listening. And I'll see you guys on Wednesday.